This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, good Friday to you, heading into the weekend of the 4th of July celebration. All right, Game 5 last night as the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Atlanta Hawks, and it was not filled with the star power that we want in an NBA game. Giannis out with the hyperextended knee, Trae Young out with the bruised bone in his ankle. Nevertheless, Milwaukee wins 123-112, now lead the series 3-2. You know, this game lacked the star power, but it ended up being a great performance by Milwaukee as Brooke Lopez chipped in, Jrue Holiday did his job, Bobby Portis added some scoring to Milwaukee. They led from the start, exploded out of the gate, went on it, you know, opened up the game leading 10-2, never looked back. Atlanta never led in this game. It was a kind of a, just a simple blowout for Milwaukee to take game five and now lead it and are a win away from the NBA Finals, where they'll take on the Phoenix Suns. But nevertheless, this was not a game where there was an attraction to watch it if you're looking for to see what Giannis would do or to see how Trae Young could win a game on the road. You take the stars out of this, you're left with these great stories of somebody who's unexpected, does a very good thing in place of a guy that was supposed to play and lead this team. Brooke Lopez has been a guy in this series we don't talk about, but he led the Bucks in scoring last night. And Bogdan Bogdanovic, we've talked about him in this playoffs for Atlanta. He had to lead the Hawks. But Atlanta had nothing, and they will now go back home to State Farm Arena with their backs against the wall to try to force a game seven. And Milwaukee, again, is a win away from going to the finals, and we still don't know much about where Giannis' knee is. We'll talk about that coming up. We'll also get into what's going to happen this weekend. The hot dog eating contest at Nathan's on Coney Island. It's an American tradition. Why so? We'll discuss that. Also, in hour two, we got Joey Chestnut, world champion. We'll talk to him about that. Also, first day of the name, image, and likeness for college athletes. How did it go? Should we just forgive some past transgressions? We'll dive into that conversation as well as we continue. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You get a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters, especially when it comes to checking for fever and keeping your family safe. Unlike non-contact thermometers, Exergen's accuracy is backed by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Details at Exergen.com. All right, Milwaukee, they took game five last night. They win 123-112. A kind of a team effort as Brooke Lopez, of all people, had 33 points. You had Jrue Holiday pouring in 25, Chris Middleton with 26, Bobby Portis, who's had a resurrected career since coming back to Milwaukee, becoming a fan favorite, filling in for Giannis at 22 on the night. So you had four starters in double figures for Milwaukee, complete team effort for Mike Budenholzer. They go on and they cruise. They cruise in this game. They never looked back. They never trailed. They led from the start. The crowd was into it. They responded well. They shot over 50% from the floor. Didn't turn the ball over much. Forced 14 on the Atlanta Hawks side. And Atlanta, of course, without Trae Young, they get 28 from Bogdan Bogdanovic. Lou Williams had 17 and John Collins had 19. But nevertheless, Milwaukee leads 3-2. Now, look, the Bucks this regular season have never looked like a dominating team, and there's a reason for that. One of the main reasons is that Mike Budenholzer used the regular season a lot to try to work different players into combinations to see what would work and what didn't. You know, who will work best with Giannis? Maybe what's a combination without Giannis? I mean, it was a lot of experimenting during the regular season, and it was geared for this very moment when you get to the postseason, what kind of circumstances are you going to go up against, and how can you adjust your roster accordingly? And that was completely on display last night, because this, without Giannis, what worked? Well, what worked is having a number of different people sharing the ball and a number of different people scoring and being a threat. I mean, look, Bobby Portis, I'll give you a perfect example. Bobby Portis was a late pickup for this team last year, right? This is a guy that was drafted by the Bulls, bounced around a little bit, ended up in the G League, got suspended, you know, for punching a teammate. He spent some time with the Knicks. He was looking for a home, and he found a home in Milwaukee, and he knew what his role was. He didn't play too much, but when he did, he was kind of effective. And then he was asked to get into this lineup to be a replacement for Giannis Antetokounmpo, not a direct replacement, to just be a body that's in this game to play the center position along with Brook Lopez to go with the size and to be effective. And they were effective. Right? They absolutely did their job. It's not replacing Giannis with one guy. It's replacing Giannis with two and a half guys in terms of the different roles that these guys were playing. And that's what worked. And that is a direct result of Mike Budenholzer during the regular season using different lineups and adjusting the lineup during the regular season, sacrificing a game or two if you have to, but getting all the data necessary that he needed for situations just like this. Now, I don't know if he was anticipating that Giannis was going to be out with injury, but you don't know going into the playoff what's going to happen. One of the tougher aspects of being a head coach in any sport is when you get to the postseason. Everything during the regular season until the very end, but at most everything during the regular season is a way for you to get information on your team, but it is the playoffs when you get into the postseason where all of that data has to be put into play. Right? It's like a golfer going out to a golf course, doing all of the yardage, checking out the greens, throwing the balls all over the place to see how the greens roll, see how the fairways roll, what best shot to hit out of the rough. But when it's time for the tournament, all of that stuff leads you to this. In the NBA, in what we're talking about, everything that Mike Budenholzer experimented with lent itself to what you had last night. A absolute dominating performance where Atlanta's shorthanded, yes, but my goodness, did Milwaukee play really, really well. And going to Atlanta, I could see this dynamic switching. I really could. This looked like game four. Atlanta did the exact same thing in game four. Right? Didn't have Trae Young in that one, and yet found a way to explode out of the gate, keep Milwaukee in check. Giannis gets hurt in the third, but even when he got hurt in game four, they were trailing by 10. This had an absolute 180-degree look. This was a mirror image of these games in reverse. And Milwaukee looked the part of a team that knew how to play without their superstar and knew how to dominate a game at home, get the emotion of the crowd into it, and then bury their opponent. And that's what you saw last night. Now, again, game six, I'm actually kind of hoping it goes back to form and Atlanta takes it to a game seven. And the reason I want to do it is very selfish. The reason I want this series to go to a game seven is because I want Trae Young and Giannis Antetokounmpo to get healthy for the whichever team goes to the finals. I know the finals is like kind of set, but I just want this to be extended a touch so that those two players can get back into the lineup at some point. I really do think that Trae Young and Giannis Antetokounmpo need to be in the finals. Like, I'm really hoping neither one of them is out for that long period of time. Like, whoops, yeah, this was a little bit more serious than we thought. Now, I'm not going to say Phoenix is going to win a series against either one of these teams, but I will say they're the favorite, and I think they would be the favorite if Trae Young was back and if Giannis was back. I think Phoenix would be the favorite in the series.
But don't you get the feeling that if neither of them can play, it's almost a walkover?
Yeah, it is. It could be, yeah. And I don't want it to be, because the NBA is already going to suffer based on the markets.
Yeah.
But they can't lose the star power either, right? That's the two things. You know, Phoenix is a nice town. Atlanta's a nice town. But this isn't Chicago, New York, Los Angeles. And as we've been saying before, maybe outside of Giannis, who's kind of on the tier of being that extra level superstar, none of them are, not even Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a superstar amongst NBA people, and he does a lot of commercials. Don't get me wrong. That State Farm stuff is great. But he's not on that. He's not that Steph Curry. He's not that LeBron. He's not on that. He's not on
doesn't
that
have
tier.
His own TV show.
Nah, yeah, you're right. But Giannis is getting close. Like, Giannis is almost there.
Yeah.
You can't lose your star out of the Eastern Conference going into the postseason. It's this little fun, Brooke Lopez will get 33, and maybe Drew Holiday will get 29 in the next game, and Chris Middleton will chip in 27. That's not going to work. You want Giannis to score like 35, right? That's what you kind of want. You want him to have the ability to take over a game. Oh, it's fun. I used to say this about the Nuggets all the time when I was in Denver. When Carmelo Anthony was on the team, and you knew that the time that, you know, the clock was ticking, that any day, Carmelo Anthony could be traded. I used to do the post game show outside the Pepsi Center, and we had one of our reporters at the station I was working at. He would be at the game. He'd come over across the street to the restaurant I was doing the post game show at, and it was a question every night. And every night I'd say, all right, what did you learn? Any rumors? What's going on? And it was always like every night there was he shook hands with like a stadium employee type of thing, right? Like you could see him, you know, thanking like the security guard or the woman that runs the catering or, you know, like anybody that was like an employee that was hanging around the team. Anytime Carmelo Anthony would shake hands, it was like any minute now we're getting the word that he's getting out of here. But when he was traded to the Knicks and the Nuggets got this package of players that formulated this really good team but yet no star, everyone loved it because you would watch these games and, you know, this guy would score 25 and then the next guy would score 21 and somebody else on the next night would score 27. But I always said it's not sustainable. It doesn't work out that way. It doesn't lend itself to the larger thing that you're looking for, which is eventual championship. You know what delivers championships is stars. Superstars paired with other superstars win championships in the NBA. The fun thing that anybody can beat you on any given night is cute, but it doesn't go very far. What works for Milwaukee in the best hope of beating Phoenix if they were to advance is Giannis is back and Chris Middleton does what he's supposed to do. Drew Holiday is supposed to do what he's supposed to do, and that's it. And maybe P.J. Tucker plays really good defense like he should. That's about it. Right? And Bobby Portis, by the way, is a fan favorite. It's been, you know, he's so funny. They're chanting Bobby. I mean, it's a guy who's had a resurrected career. Joe Varden at The Athletic really pointed out something really good about this. This was a point he made in his write-up that Bobby Portis came to the Bucks because they couldn't land a deal for Bogdan Bogdanovic. Bogdanovic was playing at the time for Sacramento, and the general manager, John Horst of the Bucks, had negotiated a deal in a trade with Sacramento. However, it was one of those sticky situations you get in the NBA where a guy's like a restricted free agent, but he's not quite yet a restricted free agent. So what happened was that the move was negated by the NBA. And it was kind of embarrassing for Milwaukee because it's like they and Sacramento, they like jumped the gun on a trade that wasn't allowed. So they couldn't land him at the time. And then they, quote unquote, settled for Bobby Portis, who's been a very, very good addition. So two things that John Horst did in the offseason was, one, he got Drew Holiday, delivered a lot of things to the New Orleans Pelicans to get Drew Holiday. But the second thing he did was get Bobby Portis after he couldn't get Bogdan Bogdanovic, who ended up in Atlanta. So there you have it. That was a very good story at The Athletic. Joe Varden's a good NBA writer, too. He used to work with covered the Cavaliers. But he really laid it out why Portis has been an important addition for Milwaukee, especially at this time when he's in need of replacing Giannis Antetokounmpo. All right, coming up next, name, image, and likeness. Yesterday was a big day for college athletes. You could start seeing the money rolling in for some players as they get to now make some endorsement deals. But Pete Futek at collegefootballnews.com, one of the best websites, by the way, for college football you'll ever find, has an excellent take on why the NCAA actually won this and won this big. And I'll explain next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us as we continue along on Sports Map Radio. We'd like to hit us up on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. At Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, and glad to be with you on a Friday. Some of you heading in to the three-day weekend, and, you know, some of you may have to work this weekend. It's 4th of July. You got any plans for 4th of July? Are you doing any local fireworks thing?
I have my fingers crossed, but it's supposed to rain.
Is it?
It's supposed to rain all weekend for us, so.
That is the worst.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, usually down here in Houston, when we get rain, we get loads of lightning.
Yeah.
So, you know, we might have our own fireworks in the sky going on that night.
Yeah, good
just
point.
Not being blasted off by us.
By the way, have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down. So let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts' shop referral program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so yesterday was the first day of name, image, and likeness. Some players already came out with logos. Some players already announced endorsements. Deals. I know Bo Nix out of Auburn has already signed one. A couple of basketball players have already got some gigs, including some women's basketball players. It's wide open. I can only imagine how exciting that must be for a young 19-year-old kid who is a megastar at whatever sport that they play, and to realize, oh my God, I can make money now. Not only money, I can make lots and lots of money now. Just wide open.
And I found it interesting, too, that, you know, we all were pretty much assuming, and it probably will pan out this way, that most of the name, image, and likeness stars will be football players. But, you know, there were twin basketball player girls you know, just blew up all over because of what they do outside of the sport.
Yeah, it's remarkable, right? It really doesn't matter. Like, if you're a really good young golfer, for example, you can now get an endorsement deal with a local golf course or something. It doesn't matter what sport you play. There's a niche for everybody, right? There is an interest. Some company has an interest in the top swimmer in America, the collegiate swimmer, or track and field star. There's always a niche thing that you could make money off of, no matter what sport you play. Right. So this is now wide open. Now, Pete Futek, who comes on the show occasionally, College Football News. And again, he's one of the best in the business of covering the, you know, college football. His stuff is great. His cavalcade of whimsy is some real brilliant stuff. He makes a very good point. I want to give him credit for this because there's a lot of people that are looking at this as a win-loss situation, meaning the athletes won and the NCAA lost, right? And a lot of it is because what the Supreme Court did. The Supreme Court ruled 9-0 that they couldn't restrict athletes from receiving these sort of benefits, and actually got sort of kind of destroyed in the process, like saying your business model is illegal. Like, it was just an absolute rebuke by the Supreme Court on the NCAA. So people are looking at it like we do in sports, who won and who lost. Boy, the NCAA looked bad. But he points out the exact opposite. Not only did the NCAA win, they won so big, they're probably hiding how big they won by laughing at people who think they lost. And I think it's a good point to make here. Think about what most of the argument has been for the last, I don't know, 5 decades when it comes to college athletes. Once the collegiate, like sports, most college football, basketball, had reached this unbelievable level of monetary income, right, where cable television exploded onto the scene and we started seeing just incredible dollars that were going to conferences and going to schools for the NCAA tournament, for bowls, for, you know, conference money, ESPN coming in, I want to do SEC games or whatever it may be. How much money was generated by these universities? What was the number one argument? You got to share that money with the players. You got to pay the players. The players should be getting money from schools. Guess who does not have to pay players? Schools. Guess who doesn't have to share in any of the revenue at all? The NCAA. Are they going to give the college basketball players a cut of the revenue generated from the NCAA men's and women's tournament? No, they will not. They don't have to. You know why? Somebody else is going to pay them. It is now up to the athletes to go out and make the money themselves. The NCAA doesn't have to pay them, and no one is going to ask them to do it for quite a while. If we're going to ride on the coattails that the players won and the NCAA lost, that's fine with the NCAA because they don't have to come up with any additional revenue for these athletes. They don't have to share in the windfall that's coming their way with more TV rights. And they absolutely know this. There's going to be some top players now that will decide to stay at school because they can still make some money and refine some of their athletic skills. Right. Remember, you go back to the 90s. Remember when Peyton Manning stayed at Tennessee? He had no business staying at Tennessee. Why did he do it? Why did Matt Leinart, who had no business staying at USC, stay there? None. None of these guys had any reason to stay other than I just like college football and my time will come. Now, more and more players who may actually make that decision. Look, college football is way, way, way different than when you play it for a living. It's actually a blast, right? If you're a top player on a college football program that has a chance to win a national championship, it's fun. It's the last time that the innocence of your sport is going to be there for you. Once it becomes a business, all bets are off. You're going to get treated differently. You are going to be treated by your teammates differently. You may be cut for no reason whatsoever because maybe even you're too expensive. There's a business side to playing in the NFL that's way different than college sports. But if a college athlete can make some money, he may stay. And guess who benefits? The NCAA. So now they've got a better product. They don't have to pay labor. They don't have to share any of the wealth that comes their way in any negotiating deal. The players are not going to unionize, and all of this is coming because they lost this issue when it comes to name, image, and likeness. Because once this went the players' way, the NCAA went, oh, cool. We get to keep our revenue? We don't have to pay the athletes? We actually get a better product? Yeah, you do. You do. And the NCAA silently won this. Because if you're a quarterback at Oklahoma and you can't make any money, that's on you. That's not on the school. The school doesn't care. If you can't find an endorsement deal, that's on you. Michael on Twitter, look at the college athletes with the biggest Instagram and TikTok accounts, and you'll see biggest endorsement deals. I know. I can't wait to see it. I'm actually, it's going to be eye-opening. And you know what the deal is? It's going to get more eye-opening as the years progress. Once people know the parameters of this, and once the competition gets heated up. Like, imagine if you are in, I mean, just take a small college town like Gainesville. Right? Think about the competition in the advertising world to get the best spots on television and the best spots on radio. And think about now the competition among these businesses to land the Gators starting quarterback or whoever the big star may be.
Now, can they recruit?
See, that's the problem.
That's gonna
right?
be a that'll yeah. be a slippery slope once that happens. Yeah. As if you know. If it's a car dealership or, some company has their headquarters in Gainesville. I'm not sure who that would be, but can they sit there and say, hey, man, if you come here, we're going to just, you know, cut you a check for 10 grand right now.
I'll be blown away the first school that is caught doing this because they will literally look they should look in the cameras and go, you need to get everybody. Everybody's doing this. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen everywhere. It is going to be wild, wild west time. The NCAA will not be able to control this.
I mean, what's to stop, say, you know, like Silicon Valley helping recruit for Stanford or Berkeley? Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Exactly. And think about what Phil Knight is going to be able to do for Oregon now.
Oh, my God. Oregon's going to have the greatest football. Get the Pac-12 in the top four every year now.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be very, very wild. All right, coming up next, should Reggie Bush get his Heisman back, and more on name, image, and likeness? So there's another side to this we need to discuss. It's coming up next on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, you don't want to miss hour two, because we're going to get right into it with Joey Chestnut, world hot dog eating champion. I think we had Joey Chestnut on last year, 2 years ago, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. We got to get our food on.
Yeah, because the hot dog eating competition is going to be on Sunday at Coney Island.
I got my plate. I'm ready to go.
Got a lot of questions for Joey Chestnut.
Hey, yo, everyone does.
Does he actually like hot dogs? Like, I know it sounds crazy, but they eat so fast, they don't really taste it. You know what I mean?
I know. Does he ever sit back and just have a meal?
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, like, if he goes out to a restaurant, are people just kind of staring like, all right, let's see how fast he finishes this plate?
Oh, I know. Exactly. Like, when he goes out to dinner with friends or whatever, do they go, hey, man, how fast can you eat that steak?
Yeah.
Is it like, can I just enjoy it?
I just want to hang out with my buds and, exactly. You know, I'm going to sip this fine wine. No, chug it.
I'm going to ask him how he prepares. He doesn't have to give away any of his secrets, but I mean, what is he doing today? Like, is he fasting? Is he drinking a lot of water? Like, what do you do a couple of days before a mega competition like this?
I know he does consider himself to be an athlete. And yeah, I think there is some athleticism to what he does do. But at the same time, I can't put him on the same page as like a football player or baseball player.
No, but you know what I did learn as with the Kobayashi / Joey Chestnut run in this hot dog competition? I used to think that the big fat guys would win, right?
Of course.
But then they did the science and they're like, nope, too much fat can't expand the stomach. You need the ability to expand the stomach, and actually big fat people can't do that. And I'm like, really? That's completely the opposite of what I thought.
And we're always led to believe that the big man.
Yeah.
Doing the competition is like, he's just going to be able to hork them all
down.
We
watch too much 600-pound life. Those people are like, I was struggling with the diet, so I ordered 4 pizzas, a whole bucket of chicken, a bunch of French fries, and a big slab of bacon. I know Dr. Now is going to be upset with me, but I'm still going to go. Right? And I'm like, oh, that's what you think, because you see these big people and they eat just tremendous amounts of food. But they said, no, it needs the to get that kind but of
here's another
get those
thing.
Hot dogs in your system.
Another thing to consider, too. I mean, is he hungry for dinner that night?
Yeah, right? I know.
Because I know this is, this is an athletic competition.
Yeah.
So to speak. So later on that night when he's, got the belt again and he's sitting back, reveling, and maybe he broke the world record, maybe he didn't. Is he going out with friends going, yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm just,
because
I'll have a salad.
We know they get rid of that.
Yes.
Right? When the competition is over behind closed doors. He's not walking around with 73 hot dogs in his tummy.
We don't need to know that part of it, though.
Right? No, I'm not going to ask him about that. But,
how many days does it take to recover, though? That could be.
after you kind of let go of the hot dogs, do you go, yeah, all right. Back to now I'm going to go get something to eat. Like, now my stomach is empty.
Yep.
It's gross. So gross. We'll talk more about that coming up. Goodness. So the name, image, and likeness conversation continuing as it started yesterday. And now right away, almost the second it happened, Reggie Bush goes, can I get my Heisman back?
Yep.
The second it happened. And I thought Reggie Bush should always have gotten his Heisman back.
Yeah, he
back.
Should never have had it taken away.
I don't think he should have ever had it taken away. I think it's silly that they did. I think the NCAA, I don't know if it was just out of like, well, there's nothing else we can do. Look, let's make this clear. The Heisman Trophy, it's its own thing. The Heisman Trophy does not have to comply with the NCAA rules of suspend. They just do it because it's a good partnership. And so they want to kind of be intertwined with the history. But they're their own thing. They're their own department. They're not a, this is not an NCAA award. They just sort of work within the guidelines. So if you're if you were ruled ineligible because you broke a rule and you won the Heisman, they're sort of saying, yeah, we want to have this kind of relationship with the history of college football. And if you were deemed that everything you accomplished is null, is invalid, then your award is invalid. So that's why they did it. But Reggie Bush did break rules at the time, but at the time, even we thought they were just silly. The silliest situation, and there's a bunch of them, but the one I used to rail against was the tattoos for Ohio State.
Yes.
Remember when Terrell Pryor played there? And a bunch of guys went and got tattoos before the Sugar Bowl. They were going out of New Orleans, and they got some tattoos. And in order to get the tattoos, they traded some merchandise that they had. And they gave away some merchandise in exchange for getting the tattoos. Now, Jim Tressel was at the time the head coach at Ohio State. And instead of saying, hey, NCAA, my knucklehead players traded merchandise for tattoos, breaking an NCAA rule. Could you, you know, we're going to report this and, you know, we'll accept any punishment you want to give us. But can, you know, I'm reporting this to you. Can you be a little lenient on us? But these guys knew what the rule was and they broke it anyway. He covered it up. He covered it up and they let him go. And I remember going, all right, here's a guy that's won you a national championship. Here's a guy that's been the head coach of the team. He constantly beats Michigan. And you're going to let him go because a bunch of players got tattoos. Like, what are we doing here?
Yep.
It's not like Jim Tressel like went to organized crime and got payments to his players under the table, bringing in a criminal element into his program.
And got busted for tax evasion.
Exactly.
Al Capone.
Right. His players just went, hey, man, we want some tattoos. We don't have any money, but we got some, you know, jerseys and stuff. You want that? And they're like, sure. We'll give you some tattoos for that.
Even at that point, exposed, you know, the faults in NCAA because, you know, these guys aren't allowed, weren't, I mean, I guess technically now they can get a job, but they weren't able to work. They weren't able to even, even if it was like off season or a summer gig, they couldn't do anything.
Yeah. And so where were these guys going to get money for tattoos?
Yeah.
Right? You know?
I mean, could they even do an internship?
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I mean, you know, we're not talking about the top schools. We're talking about the lower schools. I mean, because wouldn't an internship at some place be deemed like a benefit?
Sure.
I mean, it's it was. I mean, the rules are ridiculous.
So now we've got we're going to have a lot of revisionist history coming our way. We're going to go back to look to everything that was taken away under these old rules that are now gone, and we're going to say, should Michigan put the banners back up when the what the, whatever the Fab Five accomplished? All right, they didn't win a national title, but they won some Big Tens, right? And NCAA tournament appearances, runner up. We're going to Reggie Bush and his Heisman, right? All of these sort of things that the NCAA told you in the past, you did not see that, right? That you may remember Reggie Bush running all over opponents, but that actually didn't happen. So I don't know what you're talking about, right? Pretending like it didn't exist. And now we're going to do, look, it's problematic in this way. The NCAA wants to say, while the rules are different today, they were rules back then. You may not have liked them, but they were rules back then. But there's another side of it that says, you know what? It's stupid. It was stupid then. We are seeing the stupidity of it now, and it should have never led. It should have never came down to a guy losing one of the greatest awards in sports. The Heisman Trophy is one of the top awards given in all of sports for an individual accomplishment, and that guy had to give it up because some, you know, some NCAA rule in his.
But because we decided to make an example of him.
Right, exactly.
Now, is this comparable to Pete Rose? As we get, as sports betting gets more ingrained in our culture?
Good question.
Because, I mean, you have some stadiums now that'll have sporting books inside the stadium.
Yep, but where Pete Rose got in trouble was betting on the game, like participating in the betting.
Betting on his team.
Like, you can add a gambling element to sponsorships, but you still don't want your players gambling because it lends itself to the credibility of the game.
Leads you to
Reggie Bush's mom getting a house did not help him earn the yardage he gained while he was running the ball at USC. However, some of the games Pete Rose managed may have been affected by Rose's desire to win the game because he is got money on it, and it may have forced him to make decisions he would not have made in the long-term progression of the season, using a pitcher too long, taking a pitcher out too early, throwing some sort of wacky sort of, you know, blowing out your bullpen to try to win a game that you normally would say, we're not winning this one, but tomorrow we got, you know, I'm taking care of this team, as you know, for the long haul. But also the one reasons people point to, they say, you know, he bet on his own team. What's wrong with that? It's not who you bet again, you know, who you bet on, right? It's what happens when you get to a point. Because remember, when Pete Rose at the time, who was he betting with? He wasn't going down. He wasn't betting on betgm.com, right? He was going to Sonny at the corner and placing money down with a criminal element, right? The people who weren't allowed to do that. And when you get in bed with them and you fall to them, you're easily manipulated. You know, Rose doesn't want to give away his millions. Why would he have to do that when he can throw two games, right? And so I think it's a little bit different, but it's a good question, because that's going to come up as more and more people go, hey, what is Pete Rose not in the Hall of Fame for? And you just told me that this Hall of Fame ceremony is brought to you by, right? Once that occurs, where like ESPN is doing the Hall of Fame inductions and they cut to an ad for some betting website.
Yep.
The moment that happens, people are going to go, wait a second.
Whoa.
Hold on 1 second. Wait a minute. The all-time hit leader is not in this because of what? And you just showed me an ad for what? Let's get your act together and clean that up. So you might be onto something that might actually, there might be, it's probably happening now. So,
yeah,
you know, I think Reggie Bush should have always got his Heisman. So now today, I'm on the side of he should get his Heisman, but I don't think he should get his Heisman just because name, image, and likeness is a thing. He should have never lost it in the first place.
Right.
Right. So if this name, image, and likeness thing allows us to have a better conversation about Reggie Bush and his Heisman, I'm for it. But that was just ridiculous.
No, I mean, but according to like, I don't know if it was a tweet or an Instagram post. I mean, they're not even returning his calls.
Yeah, I know.
They're like, oh,
no.
God.
No, we don't need this.
They're looking it up like, oh, it's Reggie Bush
but
again.
But if you're Louisville, do you jump up and down and go, hey, we actually did win the national championship a couple of years ago?
Yes.
Before that was taken away from us? Yeah, you know, like, remember, too, they don't give it to the – whenever they take away something, like one of your wins, like if you win a conference championship or you win a national title or whatever it is you win, doesn't matter. They don't give it to the runner-up. Like, they don't say, you beat Michigan – and now we found you guilty of these violations, so you're vacating that. Congratulations, Michigan. They don't do that. They just go, it's not like racing or golf or, like golf had that. You know, golf had that just a couple, you know, when John Rahm had to leave the tournament. It's like, you had COVID, you have to leave the tournament. Somebody actually won the tournament. Racing, they do that a lot where a NASCAR team will be caught cheating.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, second place guy, guess what? You get the trophy. Because they put a lead brick in the back of their car to manage weight. But they don't do that in college athletics. Like, they don't give you the national title because your competition lost. But if I'm Louisville, I make a phone call. Can I put my banner back up?
Yep.
If I'm Louisville, I put the banner back up anyway, right? See what happens. Why not?
What are they going to do?
All right.
Take it away from you again?
Earlier, we talked about the hot dog eating contest. Why is it big? Why is it one of those things that is just larger than life? Two people, and I'll tell you who next as we continue on with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. So the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest coming up on Independence Day. It's sort of big spectacle, right? It's kind of a big deal. It's filled with a lot of pomp and circumstance. It's at Coney Island. It's at the original Nathan's Hot Dog eating. But here's the thing about this. There are basically two guys that have turned this into a major television event. Now, maybe you don't watch it, but a lot of people do. This is one of those things people will just tune in for a little bit of curiosity. Some people are into it. whatever reason, it makes for pretty good television for what it is. And that's Richard and George Shea. They're the Shea brothers, and they run Major League Eating. And look, you could say that the two more influential people of this were Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut, sort of setting up the next level of hot dog eating and the rivalry that they had and the competition that they had when Kobayashi was the champion and Joey Chestnut dethroned him in 2007. But it all really comes back to these two individuals and how they turned this into a major deal. They're basically modern day carnival barkers, right? The way they announce these guys coming in, the way they broadcast this, the way they don't make any apologies for it. They don't care if people think it's gluttony on steroids. They don't care that it's America at its worst. They don't care about any of these things. They go, you know what? We're at Coney Island in Brooklyn, and this is Nathan's hot dog, and it's been a hot dog eating contest for a very long time, and we've turned it into something so over the top, you can't help but respect it. Know what you're doing and be confident in what you're doing, and you will have people following you. And that's what these two guys did to this. Again, it may be silly when they're like, he comes in at the meatball eating champion of the world, the spam eating champion, the lasagna eating champion, and he has drained 75 eggs in 2 minutes. It is I! You know, if you don't, that's the way they introduce these competitors. And yeah, it's like going into a wrestling ring and all of that. There's a big weigh in before, all of these things. But they know who they are and they know what this is and they know how to sell it. And they do a great job doing it. I look forward to watching it. There's just something about this thing that I just can't get enough of. Every 4th of July, I usually find my way to a TV to watch it. Speaking of which, Joey Chestnut's going to join us next hour. That is going to be coming up in about 13 minutes. You don't want to miss that as we head to hour number 2 on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.